From WTIP News, this is the North Shore Weekend News Roundup. I'm Kara Thomas.
I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
And I'm Jay Anderson, and here are some of the stories we're following this week. The state of Minnesota is moving toward what's being called a redesign in government. Essentially, it's a way to combine services among counties to achieve cost savings and efficiency. So far, human services departments have been the focus of attention. A little over 2 months ago, the Cook County Board was asked by Human Services Director Sue Futterer to allow her to relocate to Virginia and use that location as her base of operations. She would still be in the county a good share of the week and telecommute for the rest of the time. Her husband has recently become superintendent of schools in Virginia. Anticipating such off-site management situations in the future, especially with a human services redesign pending from the state, commissioners agreed to give the alternate work agreement a 3-month trial. Two of those months have gone by, and human services employees were asked to evaluate the arrangement thus far. Commissioner Jim Johnson noted the positive response to the survey.
Those results I looked at as being very positive. And there was maybe two comments in there that I would have viewed as negative. But other than that, so that speaks in favor of staying with this alternative worksite program.
Board Chair Fritz Sobania said he felt the county was being proactive by facing what is probably an inevitable change for counties.
You know, making this move, we are being proactive. We are paving the way for what some of us perceive is going to happen in the future. And in doing so, I feel that we are honestly paving the way for the future.
Commissioner Jan Hall disagreed. She's been outspoken against the county having any supervisory personnel living out of county. Commissioner Bruce Martinson said he knew of a number of counties who were moving toward the alternative worksite model. Hall thought the model was not sustainable, too expensive, and that the board needs a much more specific guidance policy.
You know, that's true. There are a lot of people moving towards that. But in my talking with Lake County, they are imposing that on all of their departments. All their departments are having an audit person in the office so that they can recoup what's getting scattered out. But they're also changing job descriptions and contracts and salaries and benefits at the same rate. We're just saying, fine and dandy, this can go on for 4 years, $400,000 to the people, to the taxpayers. Yeah. Fine and dandy, we think this is the future. We think that's what, this is no proof of any future. This could fizzle out at any time after we have a new governor.
In the end, the board decided to have Hall and Commissioner Bob Fenwick draft a policy regarding alternative worksite activity while agreeing to extend the pilot period at least another 3 months to be followed by a second employee survey.
The U.S. Supreme Court Tuesday refused to order immediate closure of shipping locks near Chicago to prevent Asian carp from infesting the Great Lakes. According to the Associated Press, the court rejected a request by Michigan for a preliminary injunction to close the locks temporarily while a long-term solution is sought to the threatened invasion by the exotic fish. The one-sentence ruling didn't explain the court's reasoning. Michigan, joined by Minnesota, New York, Ohio, and Wisconsin and Ontario, asked the high court to order the locks closed as a stopgap measure while considering a permanent separation between Lake Michigan and the Mississippi River Basin. The state of Illinois, backed by the Obama administration, fought the proposal, arguing there wasn't sufficient evidence carp were on the verge of slipping into Lake Michigan, and said closing the locks would damage shipping and passenger traffic on the busy waterway. Asian carp have been migrating up the Mississippi and Illinois rivers towards the Great Lakes for decades. They have swarmed waterways near Chicago leading to Lake Michigan. Scientists fear that if they reach the lakes, they could disrupt the food chain and endanger the $7 billion Great Lakes fishery. Last week, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers said additional carp DNA, but no live fish, had been found in three different spots along the Chicago River within a mile of where it flows into Lake Michigan.
The city of Grand Marais got some good news recently. $145,000 public works program grant from Iron Range Resources, originally intended to pay for utilities at the stalled Sawtooth Cottages residential development, can instead be used to make bond payments for the Cedar Grove Business Park. The City of Grand Marais financed the business park's infrastructure in January of 2007 with $1.6 million in 3-year bonds. The plan was for the Cook County Grand Marais Joint Economic Development Authority, or EDA, which owns the Cedar Grove Business Park, to pay the city $60,000 per lot sold, enabling the city to pay off the temporary bonds by January of 2010. However, lot sales at Cedar Grove have been stagnant, and the city was unable to pay off the temporary bonds. The city refinanced the park in November of last year, issuing $1.67 million in 20-year general obligation bonds. Making the payments on the new bonds is dependent upon lot sales at Cedar Grove, which continue to be slow. The reallocated grant money will cover bond payments for about the next year and a half, according to city staff.
They are not your typical peg-legged swashbucklers. They're a theater troupe that will be teaching the kids at Sawtooth Elementary all about good nutrition, health, and hygiene. It's called Pirates of the Carrot Bean, and ISD 166 school nurse Kristen DeRuta Wharton explains.
On January 26th, ISD 166 is going to be hosting the UMD Graduate Musical Theater Troupe. They're going to be coming up to do a performance of a theater production that they call Pirates of the Carrot Bean. This is something that they've developed over the last year and a half or so, a theater production that is aimed at elementary students. It's a musical theater, so there's a lot of dancing and singing and that sort of thing. And it really reinforces issues about nutrition and hygiene and physical activity. They have kids who have seen it, you know, in a year prior, and then they come back and the kids remember the catchy tunes about potassium from potatoes and bananas and all this sort of thing. And so I'm really looking forward to it. So on the 26th, there will be a performance at 1:30 for Sawtooth Elementary. And then at 5:30 that night, there will be a performance that's open to the entire community at the Community Ed Gym.
A 4 o'clock open house precedes the 5:30 public performance on the 26th. There'll be information on exercise and examples of healthy snacks. At 4:30 in the school cafeteria, the Middle School Student Council hosts a taco fundraiser.
So we're trying to make this a really great, fun night for people to get out of their January cabin fever sort of thing. There'll be door prizes, and I think it's going to be a great time. I'm looking forward to the Pirates of the Carrot Bean.
Tuesday, January 26th, lots of good information on healthy eating starting at 4 p.m., followed by Pirates of the Carrot Bean, all at Cook County Schools.
Cook County commissioners are not going forward with revisions to the septic system ordinance until they know where the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency stands. The county held a public hearing on a revised ordinance at the end of last year and was set to hold another this month, but that was before the MPCA changed the ground rules. Planning Director Tim Nelson told the board Tuesday that several issues have surfaced since his office found out about the new MPCA changes, all of which are pretty major, he said. The issues include further MPCA changes to new rules on which counties have been basing their ordinance revisions. Many counties are objecting to these new changes and are sending letters of opposition to the agency. Another issue for the county is the possible retirement of sanitarian septic inspector Leroy Hallberg. Commissioner Bob Fenwick said he thought the county should hold off further consideration of a new septic ordinance until all the MPCA rule changes have been vetted. Commissioner Fritz Sabanya said his first reading of the proposed changes tells him it would mean a cost way beyond anything the county was prepared to fund. Nelson said the county is already proactive in its septic program. Commissioners agreed to draft a resolution of protest patterned after one already sent to the MPCA by Polk County commissioners. The resolution is expected to list a number of concerns and make the case that the county will continue to enforce current rules until such time as MPCA addresses its concerns and those of other objecting counties. For WTIP News, I'm Kara Thomas.
I'm Barbara Jean Johnson.
And I'm Jay Anderson.